This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I want to tell you some of the world news here, as I often do. In Italy, in a town called Bolzano, they are making every registered dog owner take their dog poop for a DNA test. Now, those of you who live in strata, condos, and apartment buildings with bad pet owners know exactly why they're doing this. They're doing this so they can make sure that the right people get fined when their dog poops and they don't scoop. And I think that's ingenious. Okay, I hate being blamed for somebody else's, you know? I'm walking by with a big dog and they point to this teeny tiny little poop that a pug did and they say, can you please scoop up after your dog? And I look at them like, yeah, that's not coming from my dog. But anyway, DNA testing going on in Italy, so that's pretty cool. In Montreal, my country, they have a turkey problem. Now, I know it's Easter. Many people were eating turkeys this weekend, but it's not that kind of problem. It's a problem with wild turkeys invading the city to the point where they was one on a bus that they had to call police to get off the bus. It's so funny. It's so funny, but it wouldn't be funny if you were attacked by a wild turkey. So Montreal, you make the pet news this week. And then we have a baby orca. People are trying their best to reunite it with its pod when its mother died. And it's been going on for a week, and we're really hopeful that it'll happen. And they're using AI. They're using AI to help in the identification of the fins to determine which pod it actually belongs to and reunite it with the right pod. So I think that's the best use of AI I've heard of in a long time. Better than bringing dead rock stars back, I think. So the dorsal fins are identified by scar shape and markings, and the AI is better at this than we are. They have an app where regular people are eventually, maybe in the spring or summer this year, going to be able to upload their photos to help with the identification of all this. Up until now, it's just been experts, but they've opened it up to a few hundred people who work on the water, First Nations guardians, naturalists, fisheries, whale watching guides, people like that are now uploading data so they can get more and more into this AI base and get to know the orcas even better. So I think that's great. Right now, the pod they want to reunite her with, this little calf, is 100 kilometers away, which sounds like a lot, 50 miles or so, 60, I don't know. But that's only a day's swim for whales. It's too much for the baby, but it's not too much if they can use sound, and I sure hope they try it, to lure the pod back toward the baby. They could make it happen. All right, everybody, we're here with Karen Nixon. I had her on a while ago talking about Halo, her beautiful white Swiss Shepherd dog, who is a slim, trim beauty, white like the snow, and came to my rescue when two of my foster goldens, a windstorm knocked a gate flying, and they got out in the night. They didn't go far, but they were missing for an entire day, trapped in a wet ditch, trapped by the neighbor dog and traffic, not wanting to come home and not wanting to leave. And they probably could have gotten very cold. They could have got ambushed by coyotes. They could have tried to run across the road at the wrong time and got hit, or tried to run across and got chased by the neighbor dog and got hit. A lot of bad stuff could have happened to my two golden retrievers. Instead, Halo came by, found their trail, found them. They got warmed up, dried off, cleaned up. 2 weeks later, they went to their forever homes, and it's a totally happy story. So we're here with Karen Nixon and Halo to find out exactly how that all came to be. What made you think Halo would be good at this, Karen?
I chose this before I found Halo. So I had wanted to do this for a long time as a volunteer to help the community. There's a most excellent professional service here in BC, but sometimes there's a wait list. It's one service, very good at what they do, very busy. And there is a fee, not unreasonable, but also not everybody can afford that. So I wanted another option for people here. So I endeavored to get a dog that would help me with this. And I chose the Swiss Shepherd because they still have that work drive, a little bit calmer than the other working lines. I wanted a dog that would be friendly when she did go nose to nose with a frightened dog. And so I set out then finding a breeder. And I found one in Illinois, and I told her what I wanted this pup to do for a living, and she chose the exact right puppy for me.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Okay, so you get this dog. If people are looking at their dog thinking, I wonder if he or she could do this, what about a dog who's food obsessed and will find food anywhere? Is that a candidate or no? Because they're using their nose and they can trail and track. But are they too distracted, like a basset or a beagle, or is that not a good pick?
Oh, it's a great pick.
Oh, it's a
any
good
dog
pick.
That loves to sniff. It's a great pick. Any dog that loves to sniff things out is good for this. It's really a game for them to start. It's a really fun game.
Are you rewarding with food when she finds things?
I certainly try to reward her with food, but she just doesn't want it in that moment. It's the actual find that is rewarding for her.
You know, poodles are like that and border collies are like that too. But the beagles and the bassets, believe me, people, they'll take the food reward.
They sure will. You know, it's a matter of finding really too what's rewarding for your dog. For some dogs, that's going to be a toy at the end of the game, or it could be food. So often the person during training that is hiding will have the dog's favorite toy or their favorite snack. So it's the target that rewards the dog at the end. With the toy or the food. I mean, you can reward your dog as well, but at the end game, you'll see the dog finds the person hiding in the bush or under the rubble, and that person will have their favorite ball or their favorite toy, and then that turns into a game there. So it's just finding what is most rewarding for your dog when they find who they're looking for. You'll find that a lot of them, just the actual search itself is so rewarding.
You know, years ago, I used to be a dog walker. 20 years ago or so in Vancouver. And I used to go hiking in the trails. And sometimes, I mean, I had a map and the trails had maps and they had signs and stuff, but oftentimes they wouldn't be accurate, or maybe I just wasn't that great at reading them. So I decided early on to teach my own dogs to find the car, right? Because I realized they always knew where the car was. They just didn't know that's what I was looking for. Right. So I would put a cookie on the back of the car, and then I started with, you know, 10 feet from the car, and I'd say, go find the car. And they'd go up to the car and eat the cookie. And then I'd go like 30 feet and then 50 feet. And then I started just to put the cookie on without them seeing it as we left to go on the hike. And toward the end of the hike, I'd put one of them on leash and say, go find the car. And sure enough, they'd always find it. But I noticed my customers picked it up too. And it became a race to the car. They all knew like how to do it. It wasn't some special skill. It didn't take a lot of training. I think almost any dog can do this, perhaps.
100%. Any of them can. Absolutely.
They just don't understand when we're lost and upset and everything. They don't realize what's wrong. Because if they knew, they'd help us find our car or find our way home, right? They always know how to get home.
They do. They absolutely do. You've gone off on a hike. They haven't been running off scared in a panic. They know exactly where they are and how to get back.
I mean, even worst case scenario, they don't take the shortcut and they just put their nose to the ground and retrace your steps, right? Worst case. But usually they find a shortcut because they know where the car is anyway. Like it's uncanny how good they are at this.
They are so good, aren't they? It's just brilliant for you doing that.
Well, thank you. That's on YouTube too. If you guys want to check it out, it's on there for free. You can teach your dog how to find your car. Deb Wolf, Pet Expert on YouTube. So, but what we're talking about here is more sophisticated and there's more communication going on. We're going to go to break and talk about how Karen got this going with Halo. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So finding my car every time, same car, same thing, is not quite the same as you throwing down a blanket that smells like a cat Halo's never met or a dog she doesn't know and saying, okay, go find this in the world, you know, not just on a trail you know that we've done a million times, but just wherever, here we are in a new neighborhood, find this. She's going to be smelling other animals, competition, things she might be afraid of, hear the traffic. Like, how do you keep her trusting you and doing her job?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, for us, it's about really building that reward bank. So lots of successful practices where she is always going to find her target and always going to get rewarded. It really builds that drive and confidence and the motivation. So even if we're doing a track and we have to call it for the night and we haven't found her target, we've really built up that confidence and that reward bank with her that she's not disappointed. We really try to practice more than we do more training and build that reward bank more than we actually go out and work so that we've always got that topped up. And we're always trying to also add some complexity to it. There's something we call negatives. So we start her where there is absolutely no track to be found. And we're building up her confidence and her duration looking for the start of that track so that she doesn't think, oh gosh, I've been, you know, 10 minutes later, she still hasn't found the track. So she gives up. So sort of a balance of adding complexity, but also keeping some nice, easy ones in there that she's successful. It keeps her engaged. She likes the puzzles, but she does have to be successful.
I saw you, I think what I saw, because I was so stressed out about this, I wasn't paying enough attention to your technique, but I think I saw you use the smelly blanket as a reward during the search so she wouldn't get kind of frustrated. You had her sort of find it, I think.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Sure was, you remember correctly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do use that search article.
That makes sense. Okay. So if people are practicing at home, okay, we're going to go to break and come back, and then you're going to tell them what to do. Stay tuned on Animal Party. Your dog's about to become a dog that can find stuff. All right, Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Karen Dixon, owner of Shadow, extraordinary dog who found my two missing golden, all right, and kept them from harm. And now they have beautiful forever homes, helping in the foster system. Thank you, thank you. So, okay, so people at home with their dog that likes to sniff and find stuff. If you drop a Cheerio, you got a kid in a high chair, drops a Cheerio, dog comes running along, smells where it is and eats it. Okay, put that dog on a leash. Let's go. What do we do, Karen?
Ah, so you can start with a sock, just a random sock, and you're going to have your family member or friend hold on to that sock for, they don't really need to hold on to it that long, but put it in their pocket, hold it in their hand, and you're going to take them somewhere. Person's going to engage with the dog, get the dog to notice them, play with them a little bit. They're going to drop that sock and they're going to run. And you know what dogs like to do. They like to chase whoever's running away. And so you're holding on to your dog and the dog sees this person run away and they just tuck behind a tree and you let your dog go. And instinctually, they stop at that sock and check it out. And it becomes a cue for them. And they find that person. And so this is the development of the game, that they go find the hiding person. And they're very, very excited about it.
What if the dog picks up the sock, like some of my Goldens would probably do, or Golden Doodles, or any of the retrievers? What if the dog just grabs the sock and then starts running around like, woohoo, you can't catch me, I have this thing.
And then you can take the sock out of the equation for the time being.
Okay, so you don't have a retriever. You don't know about this. I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Portuguese butter dog, Labrador retriever is what's going to go on, I can tell you. Boston Terrier. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. You know, you don't have to start with the sock right away. I mean, that is an item you can add later when they really have an understanding of the game, that this person runs away. Then you go find them. Then you can add a cue once they understand, okay, this person runs and hides. I'm going to go find them. I'm going to have a party after. I'm either going to get yummy cookies or my favorite toy, or just a big party with this person. Then you're going to add a cue.
If the dog picks up the sock but keeps traveling toward the person, I would let it go, right? That's a good thing. They're going to bring the sock to the person. That's what a retriever wants to do. Right?
So, yeah.
Well, that's okay, right? If they pick up the scent article and then find the person.
I mean, if they bring it with them or drop it for you, I try to hold on to those scent articles for multiple reasons.
I'd so love to see you do this with a golden. It's be funny. Or a lab. Oh my gosh. Okay. So they get rewarded when they meet the person. And then, so what's the next step? They've done that. Now, do you hide like I do with hide and go seek, where they don't get to see the person running after they found them running
Correct.
A bunch of times? Does the person yell or make a noise so they kind of know where they are, or they don't do anything?
They don't do anything.
Do they like drag their feet to make a nice solid trail, or like carry cigarettes or mint gum or something to make themselves more stinky? No, I'm serious, because I do that for blind dog. I tell people like carry cigarettes or mint or tea, something that is always the same and always in your pocket. Now your dog knows your smell, right? If it's a blind dog, like a peppermint tea bag is a simple one,
yes,
or cinnamon stick, or, you know, so should they do that or should they just be regular scented?
You can start. So if you're walking on vegetation like grass, we start when we're doing tracking by really, really digging our feet in. So kind of a shuffle stomp type move, if you will, and you're crushing that vegetation and it really leaves that odor. When we practice tracking on asphalt, any hard surface, we spray it with water and then we shuffle along on it. That's the tracking part. The trailing, your dog is going to be sourcing odor from the ground, from the shrubs that you walked by and left your odor on. They're going to be air scenting. Keep in mind, you're starting with baby steps. So you're going to be doing short tracks that eventually get longer, and you'll find that your dog's skill really adjusts. They get very, very good at this as they go. But if
you were going for a walk, like in the forest with your family, could you have some of the members of your family separate from the group, put your dog on leash and make him find them?
100%.
That would be like a fun exercise, right? For the dog.
Absolutely. It's so much fun for them. They really, to them, it's a really rewarding game, especially those dogs that love to work and puzzle problems out. I mean, for Halo, she gets to run. She gets to go find somebody. It's just her most favorite thing in the world.
So even at like a city park, you could have one kid hide behind a bench and another kid inside the jungle gym and one, you know, and your dog could do this. You don't really need tons of room, do you?
No, you don't need tons. No, you don't. You can do it in the house. You can do it behind your house, walking on trails. You can go to the park, hide behind a car. There's lots of places that you can have your dog go find someone.
I like to warn people when I'm teaching them the dog find the car that they not ever do it off leash or find your kid, because your dog will find the car, but you won't be there. So you'll be back 2 miles in the bush wondering where the dog went. So put it on leash when you tell it to go find something. I noticed you never had Halo off leash the whole time.
No, never. The only time I let her off leash for any kind of trailing is in my back property, and there's some acreage and some forest back there, and it's quite safe, and she will run to her target and then she will return to me, and then she'll go back and forth and lead me to her target. But that's not something that I would do on a a real search ever. There's cars, there's just too many dangers in that. So, and then, you know, I don't want to lose my dog if for every, it's just not safe. It's just not safe. I know search and rescue there. A lot of them will do off leash off in the forest, but for what we do know, we're always on a leash. And keeping in mind, some pets are going to be frightened if a dog comes running up on them. So we don't want that either.
Well, even in my case, even though my golden retriever foster dogs loved other dogs, they were pretty freaked out. And when your dog came along, when they barked, they were upset. And I know you wanted to reward Halo by letting her do a little meet and greet. And I said, I don't think so, because they looked absolutely terrified from being harassed all day by the Ridgeback next door. You know, they just weren't in a meet and greet kind of mood. And you were really understanding about that. I think we rewarded her some other way with a different dog or something. I don't remember.
With the blanket, just with the blanket at the door, with the door open a crack, she can smell them through the door.
So all these things you think like, oh, my cat will come out, he loves me, or my dog is trained, she'll listen. They do get into a panic state and they're not themselves.
Correct. They quickly switch into survival mode or fight or flight, if you will. When you're finding a lost dog, they're fight, flight, or all right. And so once they're frightened, they quickly switch from being your pet into a dog that's doing its very, very best to stay safe. And so a large part of the olfactory shuts down and there are a lot of ears and eyes. So any sound, anything that moves, they're on high alert. So even their owner coming close will send them hiding, running, hiding, staying silent. So that is really quite normal for dogs when they're frightened. Once you get that leash on them, though, once you get them home, they're right back to your pet again.
I find that with cats, too. But yeah, please tell us the story.
We recently trapped a dog in Linden, Washington. He had been missing for 41 days. And he had run in a panic. He's very bonded to his owner. Beautiful recall. You know, does all these like frisbee sports and duck diving. It's great life and quite bonded with his owner. And during a storm, he got quite frightened and he'd run and people had chased after him, calling his name. His name then became a trigger and he hid in this forest and then hadn't been seen for something like a month. And we had the owner put up a trail cam with a bait station in that forest. And sure enough, his dog was in there, but he was in survival mode. So there was no chance of getting his owner within a few feet of him so that he could go recognize him. He would just run hiding back into the forest again. Mm-hmm. So definitely in survival mode, did not recognize his owner's voice, couldn't recognize his owner's odor, even when he was, you know, sitting near the traps for hours at a time. This dog would not come close to him.
Poor God.
I'll tell you, I was there with him when we approached the trap, when we trapped this dog. And when he was within 2 feet of this dog, Cap was his name. Oh my gosh, his tail started going. He was absolutely switched back into being a pet again. But he had to get so close to him before he recognized it was him. And the change was immediate.
Yeah, years ago, there was this black and white cat that went missing during construction. And it was in a shed and it wouldn't come out, wouldn't come out, wouldn't come out. I helped the people. They knew it was there in the neighbor's shed. So I helped the people with a live trap. And the cat was completely feral. Like as we were carrying the trap, it was hissing and everything. They put the trap in their living room. They opened up the trap door. It looked around and behaved like it always had. Purring, meowing, like it had never left, never gone feral. Like, you know, it went back to house cat in 1 second. It was amazing. Amazing. I thought, are you going to let it go? Like it's going to go nuts. It's going to shred the curtains. No, just totally back to its old self. Well, no longer in survival mode. But that was a house cat. It wasn't supposed to be outside, you know? And I think people think cats can just survive any old place. They can't. Every place is already occupied out there. Like, I worry about dogs like Halo doing their job, trudging through backyards with loose dogs and trespassing in all kinds of animal ways, you know? So you've got to keep her on leash so you can keep her safe.
Yes, absolutely. We're very careful about yards and dangers. We ask permission. Often I will, before I get there, I'll have the family knock on their neighbor's doors and gain permission ahead of time so that we can access that property safely. I do try to take a peek and make sure that they haven't forgotten and left their dog outside. And the dog's not going to be very welcoming of Halo coming around the corner. But it is a real danger, and we have to be very careful.
So if people are listening and they want to get involved, either they want to have somebody help them find a pet.
For everybody's safety.
So where would you suggest people start if they're interested in finding out more about this?
YouTube has a lot of amazing videos on man trailing is what it's called, or just trailing. And there's somebody locally here that teaches the beginner's course for man trailing. So you can go, I think it's a 1 or a 2 day event, and you do the basics of this man trailing. And her name is Danica Auld. She's the only one that I know of so far that is doing trailing. I know Maureen Fielding, who teaches tracking, is going to start trailing as well.
Well, the listeners are all over the world, so you're going to have to look in your area, but we've got the terms. Look up man trailing and try and find a place that has good reviews and talks about their certification. But no matter where you are, I would recommend you dress for this, like an outdoor adventure. This is not a bikini moment, not a slingback shoe moment. This is going to take you in and out of everywhere, all terrain, right?
It sure is. Absolutely. You have to dress for it. I like to wear a shell over my pants because we are most often going through blackberries, and you're going to get snagged up. Definitely wear some layers, because if you have a dog on a hot trail dragging you around, you're going to warm up quite quickly. Extra batteries, extra flashlights, definitely gear up.
I think you had a light on your head, didn't you?
I did. I have a headlamp.
Yeah.
And flashlight in my pocket. I do have a spotlight that I can hang around my neck. The headlamp is great, except when we're crawling through bushes, it often gets stuck on things. So I've got the backup spotlight.
Well, I want to thank you again. You helped me so much. And how can people reach you if they want your help locally? On Facebook?
Yes. So two of my training partners joined up with me, and we formed a group called the Scent Rescue Team. You can find us on Facebook. We're volunteers. We do work full-time jobs, so we're not always available. We do this on our days off or after work. We're donation only, but there's absolutely no requirement to donate. We really just want this to be about finding the pet and reuniting them. Locally here in BC, we'd love if, well, all over the world, really, we would love if other people decided they wanted to be pet detectives, either as professionals or volunteers. If that's something that interests people, they can look up the Missing Animal Response Network, and you can actually take online courses to learn how to be a pet detective. And you can also take an online course that is the full course to training your dog from start to finish in being a pet searching dog.
Well, thank you so much for that. All right, everybody. Put your dogs to work finding lost pets, and what happy endings. I mean, Karen, you must get so much joy out of seeing the reunions, really.
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world. It's the best feeling. You know, you meet people and they're distraught, they're exhausted. They've often been up all night, all day looking for their pets. And you can see that the hope, they're starting to lose hope, and you assure them that, you know, your pet's going to be found. And you can see a little glimmer of hope in their eyes. And then when you find the pet, the relief that washes over them, I can't even describe the feeling. This is exactly what we do this for.
Thank you so much, Karen. All right, everybody. From me, Deb Wolf, to Karen Nixon and Animal Farty Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.